died a long time ago. Just an illusion is my movie. When lots of children are going to school, they come back from where I live, you can see the sea, see birds all around. The spring is almost here. I am going to the hill to pick flowers for whom I love, just for you. I must say I wrote this poem before the spring. Because I see here the spring is almost here.
Thank you very much, Constantine. Next, can we have Sini Shah, please? Big round of applause. From Serbia.
Not so good. So, hi.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day here in Cork, in Ireland. I'm going to perform your poem about my Balkan nation, and somehow I think that it might be that I was listening to some Irish song that actually kind of maybe has its parts of it in the background of this poem. So I will just play the part of this poem, song of your country, and you will know what the song is talking about, my poem. Definitely. Anybody recognize what? No? There are three versions of this poem. Actually, I was very interesting to find these three versions, and I don't know which one is closest to you, but it's the wind shakes, the barley.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There are three versions that I like from the same name movie. And I watched the movie. And this poem, might be also to your people, it's to my people. So, to my people, maybe to you, my people, that forgot that you used to be great. Great because you had and you nourished 1 million of freaks. The year of vacation, 41, 91, 95, 99, the case of my nation, all the centuries. In the case of your nation. And I know how it is to be a freak. I know how it is to have 4 awfully big hands and 4 awfully big feet. I know how it is to have awfully big feet. I have 4 awfully big feet. I have 4 awfully big feet. She's laughing, you see them? I had to hide them. Otherwise, you wouldn't see the sea, the storm on my eyes, the torrent on my lips. I had to hide. I have 4 awfully big hands. Imam 4 odvratno velike ruke. Imam 4 odvratno velike noge. I have 4 awfully big feet. I had to hide them. Otherwise, you wouldn't see the sea, the storm. You would see just the way she had seen me, just hearing me happily running to her. My feet sounded like bam bam. 4 feet rejoicing, bam, bam, and she would also run away. Bam. Everybody runs for a man with awful big feet. Everybody runs for a man with awful big, bam, bam. But I'm also a man. But I'm also a man with 4 awful big hands. I'm a man with 4 awful big hands. You cannot see them, of course. They're hiding. They're hiding behind my back. They're hiding my big feet. They're behind her back. 4 hands hugging her, loving her, hugging her, loving her, hugging her, loving her, hugging her, loving her, but she feels 4 clothes. Slash, 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 slash. She was double out, double hugged, hugged everywhere at the same time. But that is too much for some girls. Everybody runs for a man with slash, slash, slash. man with four awful big hands and four awful big feet, I am. But I'm also a man with an awful big heart that goes like. And I can't hear it. The awful big heart just doesn't work. This awful big heart wasn't big enough for the toast. And my brave Balkan nation of three frontiers men was turned into a nation of refugees. This heart wasn't big enough. The nation of refugees. The Balkan. My heart awful big because an awful big heart required to be able to love the future rising from the past that required awful big feet for running away from. My heart awful big because an awful big heart required a normal heart. Our heart wouldn't have had enough blood to cover all of the distances we survived, to love all the people we never intended to meet, and not to forget all my people that were replaced. My heart's awfully big, because an awfully big heart's required to be able to love the future rising from the past, like one awfully big thing to run away from a runaway, a refugee, with an awfully big heart. As I said, no, my heart would have had enough blood to cover all the distances. That's why, to love all the people I never intended to meet, and not to forget all the beloved people they replaced. Our eyes are frightfully huge, our tears are awfully big, because our awfully big hands were not big enough. Our awfully big hands were not big enough to protect us from awfully big half a century long knives. Knives made a spicy pork soup. So everybody would like to forget man with awfully big hearts, except for making the spicy Balkan soup. Thank you.
So next we have Sandy Yanon.
Well, in the extraordinary ways of the extraordinary, Kate read Titanic poem, and I had a book that just came out this spring that has a series of Titanic poems, and I've been over for a week and a half, so this is the only night I'm going to be in Cork, and I got to hear a Titanic poem. And I was already going to read a Titanic poem about infidelity, in honor of Edward O'Dwyer, who wrote a book about infidelity called Cheat Sheets. So here it goes. This is one of the poems from my book, Boats for Women. And all you need to know is there's an appearance by Benjamin Guggenheim, who was one of the people on the Titanic, and you'll hear some things about him in a moment. It's called Lifeboat Number 9. With two men, it's menace, hard liquor on the rocks. With two women, it's quench, a soft drink with ice. But what if both same-sex picture frames are wrong? What if what resides in these spaces where lines should run like shiny blades are the dulled edges of mercy unopened, an envelope flap waiting to slice an impatient finger in a quiet deception. I don't know why all aren't seen as stunningly stunning in any human condition. Between lust and inconvenience, between imperfect and oddly potent, between stranger and merely strange, the only facts that matter are the slippery time of day or night. Who didn't take the phone off the hook or chose not to remove the ring? The only one that matters is the lover not in the room at the time of the heart unraveling and trying to pick itself up off the polished wooden floor. There are no Richter scales. There are no backdoor evacuation routes. Infidelity knows best how not to cover its tracks, to make the hand covering its mouth turn into a bruise mistaken for a bruise. And this bruise knows better how to reset every clock, as if time were the culprit and not one body turning toward another. So I won't lay down blame like a picnic blanket. I won't ask her to marry my truth. She's done that one too many times for amnesia's good, and protection and liberation are cut from the same ghost accordion of paper dolls. But don't let anyone tell you that neither counts. When any two of you turning out the lights equals more than all the sex those naysayers say they have denied they've ever had. The good, the bad, and particularly the ugly that gets registered as boys will be boys and girls will be flirts, which isn't the same as saying my mother wanted everything to do with my father, or just because Guggenheim had his manservant dress him in his finest haberdashery so both could die with valor on board the Titanic doesn't change what happened with his mistress or his wife before the ship sank or after in lifeboat number 9. Thank you.
Guys, we have like 20 minutes left and about 9 readers, so if we could keep, you know, moments and introductions and stuff as short as we can. And anyway, so we'll move on. We've got Edward Odaware next, please.
Well, speaking of the introduction, Sandy mentioned this book, Cheat Sheets. Basically it's 108 short stories about infidelity. They're dark comedy, but apparently 108 just wasn't enough, so I wrote a sequel. I'm going to give you one of the ones from the sequel, Chris. Do you have your books with you, Chris?
I don't, but I'll send you one.
I want that book, that's great.
Can trade.
You're so far up my alley. you'll see. Anyway, moving on. This one is from what will be the sequel, and it's called Tragedy. It's such a tragedy when a beautiful love is destroyed. Thankfully, it didn't come to that, and my girlfriend and I were eventually able to put our follies behind us. We'd both been having silly affairs and had found out in the same moment. I'm ending it immediately, I told her. It won't ever happen again. I'm going to do the very same, she said. And it looked like that was that, the problem solved. However, I was more peeved about it than I had initially thought. Using my background working with explosives, I decided to rig a small bomb inside her refrigerator, which would activate when she removed the bottle of Chardonnay I put there for her, knowing she'd be eager to pour a glass when she got in from work. Of course, we share this tendency to overreact in emotional situations. Maybe that's just love. I should have known she'd be similarly irked, but I wasn't prepared for the bear trap she'd set up just inside the door of my apartment. She'd call the fire brigade, and I'd call the ambulance, of course. The oddest thing happened, though. They must not have been able to hear each other as they zoomed around the same bend in opposing directions. They must have heard nothing but the screams of their own siren. When they collided, it was at high speed. In a cruel irony, the firefighters were too injured and in need of medical care to put out the flames consuming the medics. Similarly, the medics were too distracted by the flames searing their flesh to attend to the injuries of the firefighters. It was such a terrible shame. All of them were killed, and all due to our childish domestic squabble. Our love must survive as a tribute to their great sacrifice, I told her when the pandemonium of it was beginning to settle down and we were assessing our options. Agreed, she said. If we don't make this work, then they'll all have died for nothing. She leaned in as though to kiss me, but then stopped, probably having remembered all the bandaging on her face and the fact that beneath it she had no lips any longer. Like my lost limb, neither of us would ever be again whole, but it didn't matter. We were both sure we were headed into a future of endless fulfillment.
I think we can all dream of a love like that.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And next can we have Charles Clark, please?
Yes,
yes.
In the years when porpoises rolled in the estuary, a war surface life raft, red sails signaling, put out from the beach for short trips only in the light hours of summer. Tides ebbed and flowed, observed by yachtsmen. At the farmhouse, taken for a month, ducks swam in the garden stream. In the kitchen, maids were skittish and lobsters crawled towards boiling water. The haggard gleamed spotless in the sunshine, and cows after milking dumped on the bracken. From the quarry wall, the horse drew water. Seals barked in the bay in the early evening. Our English cousins danced in the green hut. Cards were played under oil lamps. Phosphorescence lit the bay at nightfall.
Thank you, Charles. And next we have Mary O'Connell, please.
Thanks, Jim. This is called Revelation. So how's life treating you? Her tone is casual as we edge along the queue. I pull out my threadbare life, wondering what to show. Crumbling family home, hearth torn out, wallpaper peeling, damp seeping, jagged cracks. My wanderings back and forth, a ghost without my kin, no job, no goal, no dream. Shifting uneasily, I mumble, "Oh, not too bad." Searching my downcast gaze, she nods, no doubt guessing what I am trying to hide. The weave's unending darkness. In meeting her, I show myself what I've refused to see.
Thank you, Mary. And next we have John Horan.
So I don't know the title, and I don't really know if it's any good, but I'm hoping you won't beat me up, but it isn't. God is glowing out of the corner of my eye, or is it the shadow of Ted? Sometimes I seem to catch glimpses of things outside our reality, or is it just that I'm superstitious? These are the end times, or the beginning of the rebirth, which is it? Do poets get to be our prophets now? I plumb for the rebirth. All this suffering has to be for something, right? Bird clangs in a death rattle of the outdated. The best is yet to come for the human race. In the meantime, keep praying, hoping, working. And no answer.
And next we have Benjamin Burns, please.
Get up!
I'm gonna do a cover of this is the lyrics to a Talking Heads song called Seen and Not Seen. He would see faces in movies, on TV, in magazines, and in books. He thought that some of these faces might be right for him. And through the years, by keeping an ideal facial structure fixed in his mind, or somewhere in the back of his mind, that he might, by force of will, cause his face to approach those of his ideal, the change would be very subtle. It might take 10 years or so. Gradually, his face would change its shape. A more hooked nose, wider, thinner lips, beady eyes, a larger forehead. He imagined that this was an ability he shared with most other people. They had also molded their face according to some ideal. Maybe they imagined that their new face would better suit their personality, or maybe they imagined that their personality would be forced to change to fit their new appearance. This is why first impressions are often correct. Although some people might have made mistakes, they may have arrived at an appearance that bears no relationship to them. They may have picked an ideal appearance based on some childish whim or momentary impulse. Some may have gotten halfway there and then changed their minds. He wonders if he too might have made a similar mistake.
Thank you, Ben. And next we have Philip Spillane.
Yeah, I might as well jump into it. I'm going through an interesting writer's block at the moment, even though I didn't go through one last year, so it's interesting. Feels like you lost your gift. So, but I like the workbook, I did the 5-word challenge, so I might revise that. Moonbolt. Across the great sea of violet, with cuts so deep it bleeds clouds, there's a hole in the sky that glows up the ground, that grows when you look upon. Smudged in the light bulb are two big paws that look like yours. Forgotten what's around and forgotten what you've done, you stare at the great moon bulb. Thank you. Woo!
That's lovely. Thank you, Phil. And next we have Mo O'Connor.
Time was at a premium tonight, so I did a chart. One plus one for the horse. The stone horse says nothing. Sometimes a stare of indifference says it all. I won't bother with that, it's too insulting. He has a poem called Catholic Honour Killings. Catholic Honour Killings. Honour Killings, Irish style. This week in June, the Sisters of Nonmercy strike again. Not shocking news to me. I remember the disappeared, the whispered rumours of headscarf women, men cap in hand, kneeling at the door, one leg inside to avert the curse of hell, one outside to ogle the girls who fell, bound for London or some place like Tune. When the call to prayer rang at 6, we mumbled along, fearful not to mouth the words. Mary took the boat, she got in trouble, I heard the elders say. I knew that in London. Ruled by shame and fear of God, they left the sod to wander like a new lost tribe. Family law, drafted by McQuaid, had a special place, said Div, in our own Sharia. The hijab woman bowed her head in shame, awaiting to be churched. Let him without sin cast the first stone, said the book. the metaphorical storms are raining on us now. Did the tomb babies die with original sin before the splash of holy water to languish forever in limbo? We are all in limbo now.
Thanks very much, Mo. And finally, can we have Kieran McCartan, please?
Make it work funny. Make it work funny.
What did you say, Charles?
What? Say it again.
Go French rock.
Charles instructed me to try and make it work for me. So let's give it a go.
Your face is seamed.
Wouldn't you like us to think the world is grave in the pink and selling slaves? At the brink of breaking waves, a series of mistakes we've made. And write off all that we create as another inch we shouldn't take. Driving tunnels through our minds for miles, filled with whippy and a flake. That guides our eyes with style and trials to see the fence but not the gate. Quick to serve up plates of hate, predictable when faced with bait. And even though your head is full, still you can't tell a medal from a pedestal. Claiming that you haven't made, auditioning to be a slave, petitioning to lock your cave, positioning above the grave and wait and looking straight. Imagine all the time you'll save, remaining always in the shade, pasty and brave, wasting away, taking pot shots at sun worshippers. Banging on as though we're rattling on about the same shit all the time. While the youths are still fighting the crusade.
Thanks, Kieran. So thanks for closing the night. And before we go now, can we have a big round of applause again for Kate Newman?